You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Daniel Ruhr, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. The Warriors won a strange, ugly, sloppy game against the Chicago Bulls, final score 123-92. And my biggest takeaway from it was this was just kind of a survive in advance type of game where Chicago was clearly limited without Jimmy Butler, without Dwayne Wade, and have imperfect players in their stead. They started Jerry Grant and Michael Carter-Williams. Rajon Rondo actually outplayed both of them, and the Bulls just didn't have the horsepower to stick with the Warriors, who got the comfortable win despite struggling a fair amount in the first half. They looked, you know, they had some nice moments where they looked good, and also Chicago went 4-for-24 from three, which I think was one of the big dynamics of this game. But the Bulls are the league's worst three-point shooting team, both in terms of three-point attempt rate. So they take the fewest threes relative to the rest of their shots. But that makes sense because they're also the league's worst three-point shooting team. So it isn't a surprise that they struggled in that way. But 16.7%, 4-of-24 is bad for anybody. So the Warriors survived that. But thinking of it as the aversion of the negative does obfuscate a little bit of the positive that was there, and there certainly was a fair amount of positive in this game. One of the bigger ones was JaVale McGee. McGee offensively has been wonderful with the starters throughout the season, but particularly the configurations where he's out there with more of the starters, because Green and Curry are great at feeding him. Durant has gotten a little better. Klay Thompson has gotten a lot better, but struggled a couple times today. And McGee gives them a boost on that end. He is still imperfect defensively, will always be imperfect defensively, but if he can provide enough juice on the offensive end, it's worth trying him out there. It's worth seeing some of these combinations, and it certainly is a silver lining of Zaza Pachulia missing some time due to injury that McGee has gotten this opportunity and has made the most of it. Now, we still don't have any firm ruling on whether he will be available moving forward because he had a pretty nasty fall in the third quarter. He bit pretty hard on a Robin Lopez move, went up in the air, and basically tried to grab Lopez to slow himself down, ended up falling on his backside, it appears. I thought it was more on his side than his backside, but from what Coach Kerr said after the game, appears more the latter than the former, and we'll have to see. Because that actually became more significant because after the game, Coach Kerr was asked about what's going on with Zaza Pachulia and David West, and he said he didn't expect either of them to be back at all for the three-game road trip that is coming up against the Nuggets, well, I started with the last game first, the Grizzlies, the Thunder, and the Nuggets. And that's important because if McGee is out, the Warriors are getting relatively low on big men despite having a million of them on the roster. Kevon Looney, James Michael McAdoo will be primarily shouldering the burden. Maybe Damian Jones gets some minutes. He actually played in his first game, I believe, was the first game against in Memphis, was his first appearance of the season. And maybe some Draymond at center against those groups, a couple different things. But that is actually a really encouraging thing for this coaching staff because it shows the right mentality, the right rationale on how to approach these injuries. The regular season does not mean much to the Golden State Warriors. It is really all about the playoffs, and there is nothing to be gained by rushing or pushing those players to get back. Kerr used the All-Star break as a potential, you know, that they might be, you know, they might even give them all the way until then. And considering they're out for the whole rest of this road trip, the Warriors only have one home game after that before four of their players and coaching staff head out to New Orleans for the All-Star game. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if those guys missed that game as well. It is not written in stone. It is not definitive. Coaches are not bound by those proclamations, whether positive or negative. So it is worth considering. But JaVale McGee played an important part in this game. Even though he only ended up with 16 minutes, he was a pretty significant positive when he was on the floor. Had a really nice sequence at the beginning of the third quarter. The first two plays of the third quarter where he blocked a Robin Lopez shot and then ran down and got a dunk. He has been exciting. It seems like the other starters really enjoy playing with him and seeing what he can do out there. He lends them some creativity, not JaVale's creativity himself, but he lets them, because they know that if they get the ball in certain places, they can just throw it to him. A couple of nice assists tonight where the Warriors just realized what the situation was and just threw the ball to JaVale. And he entered the game in those 16 minutes with 13 points on 6 of 10 from the field, 6 rebounds, and 2 blocks. Couple other Warriors had nice games. Draymond Green had his best shooting game. I actually looked this up. It was his most made threes of the season. He was 5 for 6. And also the best percentage he shot from three with 4 more attempts in his entire career. He shot 5 of 6 before, but it was so it tied his best in his career. But that's really impressive. He is not the third Splash Brother, but he did a really nice job there and had a solid defensive performance as well. Wasn't asked to do as much against this very, very limited Bulls team, especially when the Warriors kept basically baiting them into shooting threes and they kept on missing. So Green had a nice game. Klay Thompson had a good game. 28 points, 10 of 18 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3. Some solid defense. They didn't need him a ton on that end. Again, I talked about the Bulls being limited at the guard spots, but he did a nice job on the assignments that he had. He had MCW early and then bounced around the assignments based on who Chicago had out there. And when Paul Zipser, who has been a surprising rookie for the Bulls, went out due to an injury and did not play in the second half, the Bulls went really small. They basically only had guards at the 1 through 3. So they went in that direction. They could have played Doug McDermott more. They didn't. It's a little bit frustrating. They could have even gone with Nikola Mirotic there and didn't really do that either. But they went with these guard lineups, which would work against some teams, but their guards can't shoot. Their guards aren't very good. So it wasn't a big deal for the Warriors to really shut those guys down. And every team gets a few of these games throughout the season, whether it comes in the way of an opponent who just can't make a shot or an opponent who is hurt or scheduled rest with their guys. We saw this actually with Minnesota and Memphis twice this year. Memphis actually sat their best players twice against Minnesota, lost the first time going away, and then actually won the second one against Minnesota, a team that's been floundering. The Warriors had one of those games tonight. Chicago was both depleted and off, and that's a part of the system. It happens sometimes more to the Warriors than to other teams, because teams, especially at Oracle, opponents often feel like it's not a great opportunity to get a win, so they can do that. I don't think that was really in play for this game just because of the nature of the injuries that the Bulls are dealing with, but it is an ancillary benefit. It's not like the Mavericks game when the Mavericks, it looked like, kind of took it easy on the Warriors that first one when Seth Curry had a really nice game. And the other big, interesting, encouraging part of this game was that they actually had a cogent garbage time unit that did not involve any of their key contributors. So they ran out newcomer Briante Weber, Patrick McCaw, Ian Clark, Damian Jones, and Kevon Looney. They looked good. They tried hard. They got about the last 4 minutes of the game together. All of them scored in the game. I think almost all of them scored in that little stretch in the fourth quarter. Damian Jones got a bucket on a deep two, which was interesting because earlier in the game, Kevon Looney had hesitated and then shot one. And that was actually his only miss of the game because every other shot he took was right around the basket. So those guys looked good together. Weber and McCaw in particular are so active on the defensive end. They generated a couple turnovers. Chicago had lineups out there that didn't really have much of a chance. So all of those things ran together, but they looked good. After the game, Coach Kerr talked about how it was nice to have a lineup like that, and also acknowledged how hard it was to cut Anderson Varejão. Varejão, of course, is a favorite of the coaching staff, but how games like tonight were a reminder of why that was necessary. And I completely agree with that analysis. It was important to have that, especially as Sean Livingston is still coming back from a back issue, because you don't want to put extra miles on him like Pachulia and West for no real good reason. And so Briante Weber, beyond being a talented player and somebody who could actually help this team, really does help in that capacity, giving them a capable steward who can initiate. He had a beautiful pass out to, I believe it was McCaw, and he's a very talented player and fits in well with that group. not a good shooter. That's the reason he hasn't stuck in the league already. But the Warriors don't need a ton of that, especially if he's primarily playing in late units. Something my podcast partner Nate Duncan has talked about is that he has a really, really high steal rate, fitting in perfectly with McCaw, who is also a very active stealer. So you put those two guys together, you have a little bit of the defense, and puts less strain on Damian Jones and Kevon Looney, who looked fine out there. Nothing wrong there. So all of those things ran together for an encouraging stretch at the end of the game. I was a little bit frustrated that Coach Kerr was so afraid of the Bulls units that he played Curry and Draymond Green late. Actually, I think he played all four of their all-stars until about the 4 minute mark of the fourth quarter when they were up 15 or so. But they ended up going with that garbage time lineup late. That garbage time lineup played well together. Damian Jones was plus seven in that 348. Sorry. So a good representation of how that group played together. And the hope would be that if the situation presents itself over these next few games, that they are comfortable going back to it, maybe with a little bit more time remaining. And it ties in with an idea that I've harped on this podcast and other places over the course of the year, of playing a lineup that tries hard on defense and is judicious but active on offense. You know, if they get a clean look at a shot in transition, take it. If they get a really good look at another point, take it. But otherwise, work the shot clock, try to get a good look. That can work. I genuinely believe that it can work better than units that include starters that are basically just trying not to get hurt. Because those players, McCaw and Looney and Damian Jones, those guys are trying to get attention. They're trying to play well. They're trying to play good team basketball. It's a very different motivation than what Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, not that I'm maligning their effort or anything, they're just thinking about those minutes in a very different way. They're being caretakers for themselves because that's what they should be. So I would like to see the Warriors move in that direction a little bit more when they can. And I understand why Kerr has been reluctant to do that, especially considering the history of bench units bullying leads. But it was an encouraging development all the same. And to keep the minutes down for just about everybody, even kind of with that fourth quarter where a lot of guys played, Iguodala only had 22 minutes. All the starters were below 32, Durant at 30, 41. That's great because you need to save those guys. You need to save their energy. And they have a tough road trip. They're going Friday, Saturday, Monday, including the Monday game being at altitude, all against physical teams, all against challenging teams. So we'll have to see where that goes moving forward. But it was interesting all the same. And I'm excited for this trip. The current plan is I'm going to do a short little podcast maybe on previewing the road trip. Otherwise, I will definitely do episodes on the games Friday and Saturday. So I might just skip tomorrow because I'm going to do those. You can also check out, I've done recent content, did the whole big mock trade deadline for Dunked On where we did three episodes. And then Real Jam Radio just came out where I talked with Sam Vecenie about the draft and some other stuff. Not a ton of Warriors content, but a lot of good content there. Did almost 2 hours with Sam. So you can check that out as well. If you are missing Locked On Warriors and I don't put something out on Friday, there is plenty where if you want to hear my beautiful voice, you certainly can. And if you have any feedback on the show, good, bad, or indifferent, DannyLarueNBA@gmail.com, @DannyLarue on Twitter. I read just about everything. I respond to what I can. And I consider it that if you take the time to write me, I will take the time to read it because that's only seems fair. And if you want to support the show, you can leave a rating, leave a review, and you can also subscribe, download every episode. It's a great thing to do with this or any other Locked On podcast. And a lot of the other ones are doing great work as well. The NFL is in this period after the Super Bowl, but before so much of the other stuff with free agency, but they're doing really good work. And the Niners are going through a lot of changes with Kyle Shanahan and Lynch is the new general manager and all that sort of stuff. And the Raiders, of course, are going through everything with the stadium. So you can check that out. David Locke just put out a new Locked On NBA and all the other great Locked On podcasts that are in the family. So you can check those out as well. So thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.